Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us. Ray, how you doing? Ray, you there?
Hello?
Ray, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Sorry, I just stepped away for a sec. I didn't understand didn't hear what you said. I just talking to a player that might be of interest to the Edmonton community, Leon Draisaitl.
Oh, nice.
Is here in New York. So
oh,
I just had a little chat with him, and safe to say he's much taller than me.
Man, not only taller, Ray, he's almost 210 pounds at 18. Like, he's big.
Yeah, and the thing about him is that he's, you know, when you talk to him, you know, certain things you look for, it's kind of goofy. You sit here and you evaluate everybody, right? And when you see these young kids, and, you know, Sam Bennett looks like he's 15 years old. Draisaitl looks like a young kid, and he's in this big frame, but he's got lots of room to grow still. Like, he is going to be a 220-pound player. And lots of 18-year-olds weigh 220 pounds, and then when it's all said and done, they still weigh 220 pounds, but it's, you know, more muscular, more mature. Draisaitl's got room. Like, there's still room for his lower half to get stronger. Like, his legs are going to get bigger. He's going to get more power. I'm a big fan of his. I you know, as far as can't miss and all that stuff, this kid's going to play in the NHL. In my mind, there's just no question, and he wants to be a good player. He doesn't just want to show up.
Yeah, and that, you know, Ray, that's something you can't really teach or anything. It's got to come from the player within. You know, he's been pretty honest about a lot of things. He admits the German development program isn't very good. You should ask him about his junior campaign, Ray. He had 200 points and 30 goals his last year in German hockey. In 30 games, I mean.
I don't know exactly what that tells us about the junior program in Germany. But what I do know is when he was drafted in the European draft, he showed up in Prince Albert. He'd never been there. He just came. I mean, there's a lot of European players that push and try and get to the community or the city that they want to play in. He was all in. And the coach and general manager at the time, now just the general manager, is Bruno Campesi, a good friend of mine from back in our days in the Kootenays growing up. And Bruno cannot say enough good things about Draisaitl, about his work ethic, about his interest in getting better, his playmaking ability. I know he didn't have a great junior tournament, and I thought he looked around at that tournament. I mean, I don't know this, but I thought he looked around and went, man, we can't compete here. We're going to get smashed. And he looked discouraged. But I don't think that should matter. If you like Draisaitl, you should draft him. Like, if you're in that 5-6 hole and the picks go in front of him in the way that people think they are, I would have no hesitation drafting him.
Yeah, oh, I've been saying it for weeks. To me, I think of the skilled centers, he's the one who fits best with what the Oilers lack. Either, you know, he's scored 105 points, so it's not like the guy's a big body with no skill, but he's a big body with skill, something they have none of.
He can really pass the puck. Like, he's a passer first. If he does end up in Edmonton and you get a look at his hockey stick, it's a passer stick. It's a big, thick blade. It's kind of straight. And he's always got his hands in front of him, not in the shooting position, more or less in the passing position. You see him once and you kind of get a sense of what he is as far as the offensive end. That kid can create, and he can create in the way that you have to now, and that's from the hash marks down. He's strong enough to hold people off, strong enough to build his own room. I'm just a fan.
Ray Ferraro joins us. Ray, the LA Kings it's been entertaining all throughout the playoffs. No lead safe really against the Kings, especially if it's a two-goal lead in the third period, and they dominate more in the third and overtime than any other team. They're pretty much even in goals for and against in the first 40 minutes of the games, but they turn it up. You know, everybody said going into this series, well, I don't think they're going to be able to come back from the Rangers because of Henrik Lundqvist, yet in two games, they've been able to do it. How come?
Well, one way is you just push them out of the way and shoot it into the net. That's one way. What a dreadful call by the league to not have video review available for the officials. Now, they might have come up with the same call, and that would be fine too, although to me, there was no question it was goalie interference. But at the same time, not to have video review, I think, is just is silly. But to get back to the Oilers, you used something, or to the Kings, you used something that I can't believe is ever used, and that is the Kings and entertaining in the same sentence. Go back to the regular season, 22nd in the National Hockey League in goals for. Long portions of time where they struggled to score, like really struggled.
Yep.
Six-game losing streak where they scored, I think, 9 goals. It can't just be adding Marion Gaborik, although that doesn't hurt. The chemistry with Kopitar that has been, you know, been on display throughout the playoffs. The flip-flopping of Dustin Brown and Justin Williams to give them more balance in their lineup. The additions of Toffoli and Pearson as big-time players. And then Jeff Carter having just an outstanding playoff. So you go through their top 2.5 lines, and all of a sudden you got 7 dangerous guys. I mean, they can score. How come it takes until the third period? I'm not real sure, but it seems like they need to be pushed into the corner a little bit before they come out swinging. They're a veteran-laden, really calm team, and they don't get flustered. I mean, there was a couple of times they could have lost it. You know, when they scored to make it 3-2, and 11 seconds later they bobbled the puck behind the net, and it's 4-2. A lot of teams would have gone away there, and the Rangers kept fighting, or rather, the Kings kept fighting, and they get the 2 goals in the third period and win it in overtime. It's just a really good team.
If you're the New York Rangers, Ray, they will have last change. Is there any matchup you feel is imperative for their success tonight?
No, I don't think so. There's nobody that you have to really run and hide from, I don't think. I wouldn't play Brad Richards against Kopitar. I mean, that, I certainly wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I would play Brad Richards probably against Jarrett Stoll, against that line. And Stoll, by the way, has just had a fantastic playoff and been excellent in the last half of it. But the Rangers they've outplayed the Kings for 4.5 of 6 regulation periods. I don't think they have to do much different. What they have to do is what they've been doing in those 4.5 periods, try and extend it so you do it for 5 out of 6 periods. Because obviously, if you give the Kings much life, they come back and take yours away.
Ray, Rick Nash playoff numbers historically have not been very good. People will say, well, he's getting a lot of shots on goal. How many good scoring chances do you see Nash? And clearly, he's getting paid to do more. And I know you don't get paid in the playoffs, but when you're making 7.8 mil, you've got to produce more than he's producing. What are you not seeing from Nash?
Same thing that I've seen since the beginning of the playoffs when I was doing the first round against Philadelphia. Rick Nash is a powerful guy, 6'4", about 220 pounds. He rarely drives the net. He rarely uses his size and as an advantage. And I don't really care if he gets lots of shots because very few of them are dangerous. To me, he looks like a 6'10 basketball player who should be down on the block and grinding for position, that he fancies himself as a jump shooter. That's what Rick Nash is, unfortunately. I mean, he's got all the tools, and he uses about half of them in his toolbox. If he lowers his shoulder and drives the net, who's going to stop him? If they do stop him, they take a penalty. But he doesn't do it near enough, and I'm not real sure the reason he doesn't, but it's pretty noticeable.
Oh, agreed. Big guy you see him and you're like, wow, big guy skates. And you know, he almost seems satisfied just, you know, kind of being a complimentary guy in New York. Like, he kills penalties and will do those things. But you're right. Having that desire, like, to be a goal scorer, you have to have a healthy amount of selfishness and a desire to go to the tough areas.
You absolutely do. Now, maybe that's not in his personality. Maybe the fact that he's been injured a few times, it's taken away some of his aggressiveness. And, you know, people can kick him in the shins for that. But until you've been in that boat, you don't know what it feels like. And maybe for him, it's too much of an internal fight. And he just doesn't go there. But if he doesn't, he's not going to score. Because too many of the shots from 25 and 30 feet now are just turned away by the goaltenders way too easily.
Ray Ferraro joins us. Ray, we were talking earlier about, awful food that you've eaten, maybe not knowing it was something until you were told afterwards. Is there anything that you won't eat, and is there anything you ate that you didn't know and then afterwards were like, ugh, I can't believe I ate that?
I will not eat tongue.
Oh, tongue. Yeah.
Oof, that was on a buffet in in Slovakia, just was not interested in it. Nope, no thank you. Not for me.
Now, the guys you were with, did anyone try it?
Oh, I don't know. I was skedaddling down the line. I wasn't waiting around.
Okay, yeah, tongue, that is gross. Ugh. You ever eat liver?
No. Did I even hear what?
Liver.
No.
No, yeah.
It doesn't even sound bad.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, like liver and onions, it seems to be a generational thing, because I know my grandparents, my uncles, man, they love that stuff, but no thanks.
Well, they can go ahead, and I'll eat something else. I'll eat chicken. That's good enough for me.
I want to go back to, Ray, do you ever cramp up in a game? Hello, Ray?
Sorry, lost you for a sec. Lost you for a sec.
You know, LeBron James was taking a lot of flack for what happened in game one. Have you ever cramped up in a game?
Not like that, where I had to come out, but it's pretty painful. It's actually really painful. And what a cramp is, I think a lot of people think, you know, cramp, oh, my belly hurts. But what it is your muscle spasm and they don't release. And so you can't move. And if he's got it that bad and he can't play, then he must have had it pretty bad. What I find funny is the people saying, oh, he bailed on the game. Yeah. Oh, he bailed on the game.
Yeah.
Really, he did. That's the fat guy on his couch saying he bailed on the game. Or some guy that's never been in the heat of it, or some announcer that's never really gotten to the game before or gotten to a crunch time. There's no chance he bailed on the game. And by the way, now they're all kissing his feet after his game last night.
Yeah. I did kind of chuckle at that one. For a guy to get carried off the floor like that, he is in excruciating pain because no player wants that.
But that's the NBA. I remember some guy a couple years ago, somebody got hurt and Paul Pierce? They took him off the...
Yeah.
in a wheelchair, and then he came back and played. I'm like, really?
That was awesome. You know what? I guess if you could wheel a wheelchair out on the ice, you know, back in... Who was the Montreal Canadian guy who dove all the time? Was it Lemieux, when the trainers wouldn't even go on the ice finally for him? They're like, nah, we're not.
Oh, it was Lemieux, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure if they would have allowed wheelchairs on the ice and it wasn't dangerous to push him, he probably would have been wheeled off a few times.
Yeah, I just don't know. That was not for me.
Ray, any chance, can the Rangers win 4 out of 5 or have the Kings sewn it up and it's just a matter of time?
Well, I think they're a better team. I think the Kings will win, but I think the Rangers can win, but not 4 out of 5. I don't think they can win 4 out of 5. No, yeah. I don't.
Ray, enjoy the games. We'll talk to you next week.
You betcha, Jason. Take care.